Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and at this time now, it is my privilege to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Good evening, Terry. How are you?
Okay. The height of this microphone kind of threw me for a minute.
It was a little higher than normal, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a busy week, great week. Well, we kind of made it through Christmas. We made it through all the New Year's festivities. And it's time, you know, that I call this the hit the ground running time. The planning's over with, all the things that are going on, and all the plans that we've implemented up until this point. It's a good time to hit the ground running. And that's what we're doing at Community Christian Fellowship. Again, we are at 209 East Water Street. In Prospect, Ohio, our number is 740-494-2222. We're also at prospectccf.com. You can see this live or recorded on the Pastor Spot on Facebook and also at wwghradio.com. Go to archives and you can pull up the archives from every show. So it's great to have you on here tonight. Again, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker, your host, and tonight we'll be talking about some things pertaining, I guess, to current events and things in the first of the year. Current events. Wow. A lot of different stuff going on. We just never know from day to day, do we? You know, it's, we were having a conversation prior to coming on here tonight that kind of made me think of a couple things. And we're talking about, you know, it's so important that we people are aware of what the Bible says about what's going on in the world, what the Bible says about history, about the future. What's our future hold? All those things, you know, God's plan for the world, it's very important. And it is very, you know, pretty much spelled out, and it's in Scripture. It's not hard to find. You can get a Holy Bible just about anywhere you want to look at any store still. But and you can look as deep as you want, and there's a lot of different helps as far as commentaries and studies and things for just about a whole genre of everything type of studying that you want to do. But, you know, the thing that we were talking about a little bit was, you know, in talking about end times prophecy, and people get pretty caught up in that, and understand that there is end times prophecy in the Bible. And it's a lot of it is what we call apocalyptic type writing. It's not something that is history. It's certainly not poetry. It's certainly not prose. But we have to, I would say that those that really study it, I'm glad they do, because to me it leaves a lot of questions open, and I think it does with everyone. Dr. David Jeremiah does a wonderful job of putting together some different studies on not only the book of Daniel, which also leads into the prophecy, and then also, of course, Revelation, which John wrote, Revelation. But it's great to study it. It's great to understand it. But I wonder sometimes if we don't spend too much time on it. And in saying that, what I mean is it's great to know the different signs, conditions, things that will happen, things that we as Christians can rest assured in, that we can be comforted in to know what will happen. And also to point us to, I think that we're always in a sense of urgency, only to the point of seeing that other people know the Lord. And seeing other people have Jesus and sharing the gospel and being found working when that day comes and not doing what we ought not, which would basically be being complacent, which there's a whole lot of that out there today in the Christian world. But I'll tell you that the end times prophecy has really become a huge ministry, a huge focused ministry, and a lot of dollars generated from it since I was in high school. And I think we have to be very, very careful of its outcome and how we teach it and how people understand it. I'll give you a good example. I was sharing here with Terry before we went on air. When I was a teenager, we used to go to, for all of you really old people out there, we used to go to Veterans Memorial in Columbus on West Broad Street, which was the big venue. I mean, car shows, concerts, you name it, it was at Vets Memorial. That's back when the Gaithers were considered a Christian rock band, you know. But anyway, that was there, and then there was always Mershon Auditorium was a huge one too, and the Coliseum. And anyway, but I had gone there with family, and I think I'd gone there more than once, and to evangelist that's televangelist, which is on television still today, by the name of Jack Van Impe, was giving messages there, and he had these. You could go to his 3-day event or 2-day or 1-day, whatever it was. I'll be honest with you, I can't exactly remember. But I do remember the message, and I remember it well. Mr. Van Impe was very convinced that by 1982, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me verbatim, but it was either 81, 82, or 83, but anyway, early 80s, that the Lord was going to return. All the signs were there. The you know, all the things that were going to happen in the streets, which a lot of them are happening in the streets, but it didn't have any bearing on the Lord returning the way he said it was going to happen. But anyway, you know, God was going to return. The end was coming. That was it. And people were flocking to hear this. And they're sharing this and conversing about it at water fountains. And if you think, really, if you go back to the 1970s and 80s, there was such a high percentage of people that went to church back then that this really was a huge conversation that took off. This just wasn't some little evangelist that was reaching a small group of people. You know, these were hundreds of thousands of people. Well, anyway, that's great. We are now in 2020. Is the Lord going to return? You better believe he is. Is he going to return just how Scripture says? You better believe he is. I was asked a question in the ordination council when I was ordained. And people take different questions at random and they give them to you. You don't know what they're going to be. One of the questions was, what do you think about end times prophecy? And my answer was very simple. The Lord's going to come for his people when he sees fit. The end. The world's going to end the way he sees fit. The way it's described, it will happen. But in the time, in his own time, in his own schedule. Because even at that time, there's a lot of controversy back and forth in the church. Well, I'm post-trib, I'm pre-trib, and, you know, Bob, back and forth, and amillennialist, and it just on and it goes. And the truth is that, so these are some of the things that we argue about for the sake of arguing. Or they're great for writing a lot of books, and I'll be honest, it's something that we do, like I said a few minutes ago, it is something that's important that we understand the basics of. But it's not something we need to dwell on every day. There's so much of Scripture that we need to use to disciple people, to help people grow, to live their lives, to reach other people for Christ and the gospel. And we spend all of our time wondering about what this sign is, and since Iran's doing this, does this mean this is going to tumble and that's going to... Come on, guys. The Bible's very clear that no one knows the day and the hour. No one knows it. But what I want to talk about a little bit, and what I was talking to Terry about, was the danger that we cause when in churches we focus too much on this. And let me explain what I mean by that. A lot of times when you get people that are my age and older, and especially older, and maybe you're getting a little tired with life. You know, life's getting difficult. You've raised your grandkids, or you've helped that you've been around. You're seeing things happen in the world that you just can't deal with. Your joints are aching more than they ever did. Well, you know, when you're ready for the Lord to return, and the hope is maybe it'll be tomorrow. And I find that in my experience, the majority of the people that want the Lord to come back tomorrow, even though I think once he does come back, everyone will be thrilled going with him. Everyone's going to be thrilled. Doesn't matter what their age is. But I think it's mostly older people, and I think there's a reason for that. They've done most of what they're going to do here. And now they're waiting. and they're tired. And that appeals to a certain audience, and it truly does. Now, I'm not saying that the people teaching and spending a lot of time on this by any means are sinister. I'm just saying that that's usually the audience that's going to appeal to the most. But when I was 17 years old, and I go listen to this guy, and he's very convincing, and I hear all these older people around me saying, yep, it's going to be a year or two. They're, you know, boy, he's right on. Boy, all the signs are lining up, and this and that and that and this. All of a sudden, you're a 17-year-old kid, and you're saying to yourself, you know, especially myself being someone who had lost their father and really desperately wanted a family in life. I wanted that family back so badly. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted a family, and my thinking process is, now this is an immature thinking process, understand, you're a teenager. But my thinking process, wow, you know, what's really the point in me going to school 4 or 5 years when the Lord's going to come anyway? I'm not going to get a chance to use it. I'm not going to get to have a family, which I desperately want. You see what I mean? And now people might think, oh, that's just crazy. Try being 17 years old and hearing that stuff. And, you know, and another thing, you know, at one time I considered going in the armed services as a young man. And it was the same thought that came into my mind. I don't want to be stuck over there, not around anybody. And, you know, it's an immature thinking process, but it's real. And that's what I want some of these people to understand. It is very real. And when I talk to young people today, I've got a friend of mine, Barry Baxter, stepping in for me with Pizza with Pastor tonight because I didn't want to be rushed. Been a little bit under the weather. But anyway, when I talk to these kids and I ask them, what do you think about end times prophecy? What do you think about the Lord returning? What if he were, you know what they all are? They're all kind of like, well, you know, I kind of like to grow up. You know, I kind of like to, you know, I want to see who I marry. I want to see, you know, if I'm going to have a family. Now, I honestly believe that any one of those kids, deep down in their heart, they love God, and whatever God gives them, they're going to deal with just fine. But they haven't seen enough of life to grasp that, yeah, that would be as wonderful as you get older and you've done those things. And I think that we have to be careful with what we hammer into young people. And, you know, there's all kinds of things we have to be careful with that way. But I think that one of those things, I need to be lighten up a little bit. I know that there's some of us that will sit around in church and, you know, the minute they hear something really bad going on in the world, you know, one of them is going to say, boy, the Lord's on his way. And I pray when they say that, there's not a 13-year-old kid standing over here that isn't understanding quite what he's talking about, or what do you mean, you know? I don't know if I'm ready for that. Now, the point is, we do want to be ready. There was a song called I Wish We'd All Been Ready when I was in high school. It was like a folk-type song that we sang in youth group, and it was, I'll try to remember a verse of it. It was, I didn't say I'd sing it. I said I'd try to remember it. But it was, I Wish We'd All Been Ready, and excuse me. One of the verses was, man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. And there's real reality to that. I mean, when the Lord comes for his people that have given their lives to him, it will be as a thief in the night, and it will be very sudden. But with that being said, and I do wish we'd all been ready, but to constantly harp and try to guess dates, and the other thing we have to be careful of, and I'll challenge anyone out there that's been prophesying on these things. You guys know Scripture that well. You know that the Bible says that a false prophet, you know what is said to be done with a false prophet. So if you're out there prophesying this stuff and putting dates and times on things, and it didn't come true, you know, you're labeled a false prophet, so deal with that one. You know, we're not supposed to prophesy these things. We're supposed to give an accurate account of Scripture, believe it's the true and inerrant Word of God, teach it as it is, and believe it. And there's a lot of life lessons in the Bible that our young people are not being taught. I think we need to focus more on teaching them those things. Then you better watch out the window, because the clouds are going to open and the Lord's going to meet us in the air. I mean, it is, yeah, it's going to happen, but come on, guys. Like I said, I was 17 years old. I knew it was going to happen within a year or two. I was convinced of it. And I think what might have led to me being so easily convinced that, yep, he's right, it's going to happen, and being paranoid about it. You know, I shared a week or so ago on the radio, right at that time, some of the things I had gone through in losing a father and just a ton of things going on. I probably wasn't as stable as I should have been. But let me ask you another question, and that is, Terry, how stable do you think a lot of our young people are today?
Not very stable.
And of no fault of their own. I don't mean by fault of their
yeah,
own.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me you know, say that. Yeah, not of their own fault, but yeah,
no.
Yeah.
The trauma that happens to these young people, you know, the constant barrage of no, 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 you're worthless, where's dad, he's gone, he's not coming back, where's mom, you know, all the stuff they're being hit with, where's dad at, oh, they took him to jail this morning, I don't know if he's coming back this time. Can you imagine what it does to a kid? I mean, I had a relatively stable family, I think. And just having the things that happened in that one year, which were huge, you know, it knocked me off balance for several years. And I say that, I functioned fine, and I did okay. But when I look back on it as an adult and see that, you know, I wasn't thinking clear. I just wasn't. It just, so I'm looking at these kids today in the society we have today. I'm like, wow. I was talking to a group of guys yesterday, and they were talking about one of them was talking about a young man that just drives him crazy. And I was sitting there thinking, I could hear men at my church saying the same things about me. I bet I just drove guys crazy. I know one particular teacher hurt my feelings horribly one time. I really liked the guy, and he told a fellow student, he said, you know what he needs? And she said, what? He needs me to pick him up and bend him over my knee and just light him up, you know, because I just, that's what I needed, you know. And you know, people were frustrated with me because I was hard to deal with. Well, these kids today, this guy made a similar comment about this kid last night, and I said, you know, think about something. You know where he's been? Because we both knew where he'd been. I said, how would you be if you've been through all that? You know, how are you going to react? You know, what are you going to be like? My kids have been blessed to have a stable home life their entire life. Now, no family's perfect. Hey, be a fly on a wall at the Waltons and you're going to see it, right? Maybe the Waltons is too old. What's a new one? What's the one that the police family around the table? Commissioner and his family, Reagan's.
Oh,
yeah.
Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods, yeah. They're all around the table. That, yeah. That family unit.
Tom,
you know,
Selleck and...
Yeah. Yeah, everything's supposed to be great, but, you know, be a fly on that wall. Yeah. But, no, I don't think any family's is completely stable. But, you know, mine was pretty stable, and just that one-year instances made things really go a little haywire. And I wonder, you know, these kids that have had this year after year after year after year, you know, we're dealing with kids that really need help deep down inside of here. And they need to know that someone loves them right now. That's what they really need to know. They need to know that someone loves them. They need to know there's a God that loves them and why. They do need to know there's right and wrong and why and where that comes from. And I really wish that instead of all these teachers, and some of them I have great respect for, I have great respect for David Jeremiah. His father, James T., was spoke at my high school graduation many, many, many years ago. But that's another story for another day. Anyway, but I have great respect for many of these. And there's a lot of them that, you know, talk about end times prophecy and whatnot. And it's great study. It's great stuff to hear because a lot of people have questions. But I really wish that a lot of times we would really grasp our resources and say, look, folks, we got a lost world out here, and this world needs help. This world's hurt. People are hurting. Do you know why people are attacking each other and slandering each other? We see it in our political parties, obviously. We see it on the street. We see it everywhere. It's because no one likes themselves. Everyone's hurting here. and somehow they make them feel better if someone's just a little bit worse than they are. Well, I got news for everyone. No one's any worse than you are in God's eyes, because one sin makes us all guilty, but his one sacrifice was enough to make us clean for life. All we got to do is accept that free gift. And that guilt goes as far as the east is from the west. And, you know, that's what people need to be hearing. Like I said, you know, the end times are going to come. I think that we have to be careful in how we address young people and what we do with them. Especially what adults do. I'll give you another example of that. A lot of times adults get very jealous of other kids that are their kids' age when it comes to sports, when it comes to, oh, you name it. I raised kids. I've seen everything. Now I'm in a, you know, not raising grandkids, but involved in their lives. And I've been, you know, led youth groups and 4-H clubs and on and on and on it goes. And a lot of times, anytime there's a competition factor going on, there's going to be some jealousy going on. Well, now, mom and dad these days seem to be stepping in and feeding the rumor mill about kids. You know, oh, I heard so-and-so did this. And they tell another adult. And then they tell another adult. And all of a sudden, maybe a kid that was a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend that stole an ice cream cone is now a total thief that steals every time they walk in somewhere. You know what I mean? That's what rumor mills do. Now, all of a sudden, you got this kid that may already be battling stuff of his own. Maybe he's not as smart as everyone else. Maybe he's not as good looking. Maybe he doesn't have any. Maybe they don't have anything. Maybe he doesn't have any parents at home. And all of a sudden, you hear someone saying you're doing something. Well, who told you that? So-and-so's dad. Or you see a parent say, oh, you're not talking to him. He does this, that, or the other. I've seen it happen over and over again, Terry. I'm telling you. Destroys young people. Because even though in our current culture, young people do not want to respect older people, they cling to the respect from older people. They want people to acknowledge them as having worth, of having substance, of being worthwhile, worth being on earth. And when you have parents that get in this gossip mill and pass stuff out around kids. Remember the song? You guys are going to laugh at me when I bring this up, because I know no one listens. Yeah, there will be some listening to remember this. You remember the song Harper Valley PTO? Who did that? Was that Donna?
Jeannie C. Riley.
Yep. Harper Valley PTO. What was that? Or PTA? Harper Valley PTA. Remember what that was about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? It was about her daughter not being good enough, yeah. and mama supposedly is his bad mom,
yeah.
And she goes in, lays them all out about who's doing this and that and the other.
Yeah.
You know, that goes on. That's real life stuff, and I think sometimes it needs pointed out. I just, I've seen in my grandchildren's lives, especially in my oldest one, the deep hurt that she's ever had in a whole time of her education. I'm talking about stuff that just, she may have sobbed for days over, was over something from an adult, not something from a kid. Everyone talks about bullying and kids bullying each other. There's nothing worse than adults bullying kids, especially when they're in positions of authority, and especially when it's over competition. And it happens. And I don't think they understand that. You know, I was talking to Satch Solinger over the phone in here one day, and Satch was talking about, you know, his time as a school teacher. He's retired from teaching now, am I right? Anyway, he said that he had stopped going to the lunchroom and eating lunch with the teachers because he heard so much negativity about the kids that he had and different kids. He didn't want to be affected by that negativity because he may be the last teacher that liked that kid. That kid may be hanging on to a thread because he was the teacher that liked him, and he didn't want to hear other teachers to give him a bad attitude towards the kid. Now, I ask you, when we're in our lunchroom and we're teachers and we're there for the betterment of the kids, are we supposed to be in the lunchroom talking about rotten Johnny Appleseed, or are we supposed to be talking about, you know, Johnny has, you know, at his core is a good kid and he really has potential. What can we do to help this kid? You see what I mean? You don't see that. How about a teacher that doesn't like a kid's politics, so she deliberately gives them a bad grade? That's going on today. There's a lot of that going on today. And I've seen it. I've had kids come to me and talk to me about it. I don't know what you do about it. But my appeal is to everyone out there. I don't, no matter where they stand politically, what their position is out there, what they do, remember, be careful what you say to young people. Because they may be hearing something and internalizing something far different than you even mean it. You may be saying something that to you was an innocent comment, or not innocent, but certainly not anything drastic, that just ruined that person, kid's day. They flunked their next four tests because their mind was just spinning. They were so upset that this had been said. And I don't think that we grasp that all the time. We're so used to today to treating our young people like they're adults. I mean, we dress them like they're 20 when they're 5, right? They get phones when they're 5. They talk back to their parents like they're 30 when they're 3. And this is all things we've put into place. They didn't. Nobody came out of the womb and said, hey, I'm protesting this situation. I want to start dressing like I'm 20 when I'm 5. Kids didn't do that. The adults did that. You know, there's no kid that's coming up 5 years old and saying, you know what, I'm the boss in this house and you're going to listen. No, you let them be the boss. I'm telling you what we're having for dinner. No, you don't let them tell you. You know, that's something that always amazes me. I hear everyone, and I hear it, and I'll be honest, we're guilty with our grandkids when they're coming over. But, and maybe my grandma did some of that to me when I'd go over there. Like, what would you like to eat? We have blah, blah, blah. But, you know, this thing of, what do you want for dinner tonight, honey? Where did that come from? I mean, when I was home, this is what's for dinner. You eat it or you go hungry. You learn to eat it, and you did. But, you know, nowadays, you know, kids tell you what they're having for dinner, what they're going to wear, kids got control of the remote. So anyway, what I'm getting at is, because we treat them like adults, we somehow think that they have the shell of an adult. And people say things to kids that are unbelievable. Had a lady call in one day, and her kids were talking in the background, and you could hear it. I didn't take the call. Someone else told me that took it. And she said, shut up, you little stupid mother. You know, I'm on the phone. Now, my question is, what did that little girl, and I happen to know that little girl was about 6. What did that little girl think? Or did she just hear it so often she was numb to it? Now, I guarantee you that same mother, had a kid said that to her in school, it would have been marching into the school wanting that little child disciplined for bullying. Is that crazy? This is where we're at today. I think we have to start thinking about who we're affecting and how. I think the greatest, people talk about, you know, a lot of times people will talk about end times prophecy in the form of judgment. Boy, they can't wait to see people judged for the rotten sinners they are, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, when the day judgment comes, the harshest judgment is going to be reserved for those that have offended these little ones. Because what did Jesus say about it? You offend one of these little ones and turn them from me, it is better than a millstone. In a millstone, those big round stones in a mill in the old days, be hung around your neck and you'd be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's straight from the master. That's not something to play with. We don't want to offend little ones. We don't want to hurt kids. We shouldn't be doing it. Our greatest resource in the United States of America is not our workforce. It is not our raw materials. It's not our forests. It's not our water. It's not our think tanks. Our greatest resource is our young people. And what are we doing with them?
Well, that leads me down another path. And I know this is kind of a sticking point with you. I've heard you talk about it a lot. Is gender identity.
Oh my.
I mean, if we're not gonna abuse, I mean, I think you got to throw that in there, right? I mean, you definitely can't, because you're messing with their mind, you know. I mean,
that's bad. It is so bad. Do you know, Terry, that just 10 years ago, this would have come up. People said, are they crazy? Because they were. It was considered a form of psychosis to think that you're a sex that you weren't. I mean, you were born either male or female. That's how you're born. Now, you may have tendencies that are more feminine, more masculine. That's fine. People have always been that way. I mean, we used to call them tom girls and unfortunately, the little boys got called sissies a lot. And you know, they were just guys that weren't rough and tough and tumble. It didn't mean they weren't guys. It didn't mean they weren't girls. And now you've got these poor kids that are a mess. And what's really interesting is when you start playing with this gender identity thing, all of a sudden, why is it, if you're correcting a problem, why is it you see these same kids beginning to have learning problems, behavior problems, all these other things, because you're destroying them. I've read more articles lately about people that have gone ahead with this kind of thing and said, what did I do? What did I do?
But the downfall is, though, obviously, is you can't take that back. You know what I mean?
No, I think that you can try to do, I don't know. I don't know the specifics. That's for a...
But I mean, is it like the old adage, like, are those people scarred for life? I would say. I mean, or they can be.
I would say so. I mean, if you ever wanted to have children and you were a woman that took her female organs out, I suppose she couldn't.
Right.
Or a man the other way. I don't know. But I mean, here's the whole point, though. Take sex out of the picture completely, okay? Get the hormone therapy taken away to where they just have their natural body occurring hormones as they're supposed to be, the male or female, and mentally they can go right back to being male or female like they were and live that lifestyle. They might have just shot themselves in the foot when it comes to their procreation or their sexual lifestyle, but mentally they just right back to a man, just a man that is impotent or, you know, so
that's
yeah.
That's what I was getting.
But in the meantime, all the stuff it does to your brain, you know, when you start taking Jack and testosterone and pulling estrogen or vice versa, you know, fill and full estrogen, take, you know, and it's going to mess with your head and your growth and everything about you is going to be, it's a real mess. It's abuse. Any way you slice it, I see it as abuse. And I couldn't believe it. I actually saw a teacher make a post one day that said, I may not agree with you on being transgender, but I stand with you. And I'm thinking, you're teaching our children? And you're standing with somebody that is a child that wants or is being coerced into hurting themselves. No, you better be saying, I'm here to help you. You don't stand with a child's right to say that they want to do something to hurt themselves. They're not even emotionally mature enough to talk about it and make a decision. They're doing whatever someone has put in their mind. Man, I'll tell you what. Did Terry, growing up, let me ask you a question. You had a lot of friends, right? You had kids running around the neighborhood. Didn't everybody play dress up? Huh? Didn't little boys sometimes play with their sister's dolls when they were playing at home? Of course they did. You know, the girls played with trucks. Now that means something today if they do that. Oh, we got to watch. I saw him with a doll. You know, and it's just crazy. It's experimentation. Kids experiment all the way through puberty with all kinds of weird thoughts and emotions, especially sexually. And you know, for people to make any decisions about how they are or who they are, that are ungrounded anyway or unfounded, prior to them being developing their mature selves, it's just ridiculous. You're going to mess up every time. And there's a lot of people that are really, you know, that the domestic violence rate amongst those couples is higher than the domestic violence rate of any other group. Now, why is that? And I think it's sad. I'm not saying that to throw a dart at them. I'm saying it because of this. Because they're not happy. They're not happy. Somebody down the line messed with them. You know, how many young men do you see that fall into a lifestyle and you find out they were abused the whole time they grew up? Or girls, vice versa. You know, you see it over. The thing that we should be doing is going in and helping these young people to regain who they are, not making them into something different. Letting them know that there's a God that loves them. Letting them know that they're special. Who doesn't matter what someone did to you. You're special. God made you. You know, well, why wasn't God there to protect me then? Well, God is there. We live in a rotten world. He's there to love you and help you if you want him to. But we live in this fallen world. And we have all these creeps running around doing stuff. It's going to be there. You know, we can't protect every child out there. But when we... we can find them and isolate that situation. We should try to go back and help make repairs to what was there originally. Not morph it into something different for some social reason. We've really gotten weird in that way, Terry, I'm telling you. And anybody wants to argue with me, fine. I won't even argue with you because I don't think you're worth talking to on the subject. And I don't think there's... I'm sorry. I'm a kind, compassionate person, and I'll talk with anyone. But when you start talking to me about abusing kids, it's center ring time, bud. I'm not playing with that one. I just can't do it. And when people try to use their education and their psychology to try to... No, get out of here. You know, don't even go there. Leave these kids alone. Jesus said so. And he said, they're mine. Leave them alone. And I'm telling you, leave. But you know, this whole night tonight, I'm trying to talk, and I went back. I was talking about the end times prophecy and why we have to be careful with young people. I'm not trying to shelter kids and hide them from the truth, but I think we have to understand that they're in a different point in their lives, and they look at things differently. I'll say this: we got about 10 minutes left. Our young kids need a daddy to hug, and they need a mommy to rub their head and hug them. And they need to know that when they get home from school in the day, that somebody loves them and they're not going to hurt them. And I want to say, if you're someone that hurts them, get some help. Worst case, you know, remove yourself from the situation, but get some help. These kids don't need it. They're beautiful little kids, and they need to have the same chance that so many of us did. And the percentages of kids today that are physically and sexually abused is insane. But I want to tell you, the percentage of kids that are verbally abused is off the charts. You can't be told you're worthless every day and grow up thinking that you're worth something. But there's one that'll never tell us that we're worthless, and that's God. He loved us enough to send his son to die on a cross and pay for our sin. So that what could we be? His subjects? No, joint heirs. We will inherit the kingdom of heaven right with all of them. No, we're not making weird promises of strange things. It's a relationship that God wants with his people. And that relationship will be forever. It's not something that, well, you do the best you can, and we'll see how it ends up in the end. I'll make my decision when we're all done. No. He says, you believe in me and believe what I did for you, and you're mine. That's great. You know, when kids come to our Sunday school programs, when they come to Team Kids going on, well, it'll be going on in a half hour at the church. Little kids come in and they know someone likes them. Tonight is, tonight is Crazy Hair Night. And that's why I had someone step in and do the Pizza with Pastor thing for me. I don't have enough hair to have crazy hair. Tonight's Crazy Hair Night. And, you know, they have so much fun. You know, a few spray cans of this and some rubber bands and whatnot, and they're just thrilled. Makes their night. We have different things during the year. We have pajama night. where they wear pajamas. We have a lot of times we have pancakes and sausage night. They love that. And it's just a great time for the kids to learn about Jesus and how he loves them and how special they are. And they learn to sing songs together. You know, those are things that, put down roots. Those are things that give these kids confidence in who they are. And there's a lot of kids out there that don't get that. I want to ask you, too, a question out there. If, you know, if you have people that maybe you have a neighbor kid that no one picks up for church, ask them. Oh, I don't know if I do that. You know, we get a lot of that. People are afraid, to be honest. Someone's going to say this or say that. You pick up their kid. And, you know, we got to stop that stuff, too. I think we have to start standing up to people that will hurt good people and good organizations for the sake of making a buck. And there's plenty of that out there. But at the same time, Terry, we have to be very, very diligent in making sure that we, unfortunately, have to police our own to make sure of what's going on in our own house, in our own churches. We have a lot of rules implemented at church to make sure that kids aren't alone with a single adult and those types of things. You have to today. It's just the way it is. But, there's so many things we can do. And I hear all these New Year's resolutions. And I heard a lot of them this year. We always do. Like, I have a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to make a New Year's resolution. That's their New Year's resolution. Or, you know, I'm not going to diet this year. I'm just going to be more sensible about what I do. Or I'm going to get my financial house in order or on, you know, whatever it may be. I'm going to swear off dating this year or whatever the person does. But what I'm not hearing enough of is I'm going to make somebody else's life different this year. Now, I didn't say they were going to make mine different. You know, I'm going to impact someone else's life for the positive this year. And that's what I'm going to ask God to help me to do. Could you imagine if everyone had that as one of their resolutions and followed through? What the things that could happen. Those people that desperately need someone. You guys ever walk down the halls of a nursing home? It's rough. There's a lot of people put away in there. I've had that talk, I think it was with Scott, about a place for mom, they call it, that commercial. Now, I know I'm not supposed to say stuff like that, but you know what? I can't handle that commercial. It makes it sound like, hey, we found a third shelf in the fourth room in the back hallway. Here's a place for mom. Huh? Come on, it's your mother. Her place is right there beside you, man. Make those adjustments, you know, before you get to that point in life. And I know there's times you can't, so please, I'm not trying to offend anyone. But I mean, these places, hey, look, we're advertising. We have a place to shove your mother. and the only reason I say that is because, to be honest with you, I'm not cutting
for
on
for only
that.
$4,000 a month.
Yeah, I'm not particularly cutting on that place, but what I'm saying is, and I guess there's a need for what they do, but what I'm saying is that most people, when you get into those situations, you're going to find that they don't get visits. No one visits them. I got a place for my mom. It's in my heart. She's no longer with me, but I know where she's at. She's in a far better place than a shelf somewhere. And I hope that for all your mothers. But no, it was just some thoughts that came into my mind tonight. I really, folks out there, pray for our young people. Pray for these kids that are in situations of no fault of their own that they cannot get out of. And the ones that, trust me, they're not telling people many times what's going on because they're afraid. Believe it or not, as rotten as their situation is, it's the only security they know. And that's sad. But it's secure to them because it's what they know. And we need to reach in. We need to be willing to put our neck on the line, don't we? Huh? As Christians, what should we be willing to do any minute, right? What are the three things as Christians we do? We should be willing to preach at any minute, pray at any minute, or die at any minute. Now, that means you can put your neck on the line for somebody, doesn't it? Really does. Anyway, It's great having you guys tonight, being with you. I'll see you again later. God bless you guys. How much time we got, Terry? 2 minutes? Oh, we got time. We got a whole show, and we got 2 minutes left. What am I doing here? Anyway, Terry, what do you think? Any thoughts on tonight before we go off?
I loved it. Great program tonight.
I just love kids. You guys can tell that. And I want you to love kids. And bring them to see us at church at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Sunday morning, we're 9:30 and 10:30, 9:30 Sunday school hour. We have junior church during church, you know, a place they can go, children's church. And we saw a movie the other night, Sunday night for youth group. It was a great movie. And, you know, fed the kids and fed everyone last week. And I don't know what they're doing this week, but we have a lot going on for the young people. And, yeah, it's just such a blessing. Remember out there this week, folks, pray for your friends. Pray for those around you. Reach out to an older person that may not get a chance for anyone to talk to them. And reach out to these young kids that need help. And find someone that can meet their need if you're not capable of doing so. But it's great to be on the show with you guys. I love you all. God bless you. And we'll talk to you later.
God bless everybody. You're listening to